Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is April 15th, 2026. The markets were mixed today with the Dow closing down at 48,463, the NASDAQ up at 24,016, and the S&P up at 7,022. Our topic tonight is tax season. What did we learn? We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Cindy and Bob are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information. We ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can also use that number to call in and help support our spring fund drive as well, and or go online at wdiy.org. Particularly if you support this program, we really appreciate that sign of support, that we know we have listeners, engaged listeners, who want to support the show. So again, that's at 610-758-8810 or online at wdiy.org. So if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. This month does happen to be National Financial Literacy Month. And, you know, basically it's that every month here at Your Financial Choices, because we are always talking and hopefully conveying financial literacy to our audience, to our listening audience, hopefully tidbits and tips that you may be able to implement for yourself or talk to your financial advisor or professionals about ways that some of the information that we bring to you can be helpful. And sometimes we see that those tips, that information, that advice come through on a tax return. And as it is April 15th, I thought that's what we will talk about. What did we learn from tax season? And perhaps give you some tips that may help you going forward for your 2026 tax preparation, tax planning. Always being in front of those decisions is so, so important. So some of these tips and ideas did come from our tax department that I wanted to share. And then at the end of the day today, we had a little celebratory get together at the office with the team. And I threw that out as, hey, folks, what kind of tips do we have? What did we learn? And they gave me a few more ideas. So we'll talk about those tonight. So what happens after you file your 2025 tax return? Filing on time remains one of the strongest financial disciplines. Understanding what follows helps you stay fully in command of your financial strategy. So what do we mean filing on time? It's April 15th, folks, and today is the due date of tax returns. Now, I have had people say, oh, I thought it was April 17th. You might remember or know or recall that over the past several years, there were actually a number of years where the date was the 17th, even the 18th, I think, one year. And that all depended on when there was a national holiday in D.C. I don't ask me to quote what it was, or in Independence Day or Emancipation Day. I don't remember what it was called. So that kind of skewed the filing due dates, but not this year. It's definitely April 15th. That is today. If you have not filed your tax return, please get that in. Another thing I wanted to remind people is that your local returns are not always electronically filed. If you work with a tax preparer or you do tax software for yourself, sometimes that might include your federal and state tax return. But if you are in a jurisdiction where you have a local tax return, you may have to do that yourself, either paper, print it out, sign it, do your attachments, make a payment if there's one due, and mail that in. So don't forget about that if you are subject to perhaps a local tax. In Pennsylvania, we have a lot of those. Pennsylvania has more local tax jurisdictions than all of the rest of the states combined. So we do have a lot of jurisdictions that have a local tax. Certain ones you may not have to file, like Philadelphia, if people have Philadelphia wages that get withheld, and we're not usually seeing tax returns there unless you're getting like a refund or need some kind of a credit. But for many of the other local jurisdictions, even if you're fully withheld, they want to see a tax return. And some of the tax collections have been turned over to independent tax organizations that manage the tax returns for those localities and municipalities, et cetera. And they will charge you a $25 fee if you don't file your local return. So let's make sure our tax returns are filed. So not just local, but the federal and state you think you filed. Maybe you went in, maybe you thought you exported the return, or maybe your preparer exported and you never gave them the authorization to actually e-file it with the government. So for example, when we're doing tax returns for clients, we have to export that tax return for electronic filing to generate the authorization to e-file, the Form 8879. And with that, the client has to review their return, sign it, authorizing us to e-file. Well, if we never hear from the client, we do not have authorization to electronically file or release that tax return to the tax authorities. So if you are someone who thought, oh, gosh, I didn't realize, and your accountant's been trying to call you, which is what we were doing today, calling clients who hadn't returned their forms or hadn't done it electronically. We have a system where they can authorize it electronically, and then we release it. So you want to make sure you're doing that kind of thing too. So federal returns, state returns, local returns, to avoid any surprises, make sure they've all been submitted. Check for confirmation of acceptance from each filing authority. Typically, if you're working with a tax preparer, they're usually monitoring that for you. So real quick, for example, we had a client that we electronically filed. It said it had qualified. We electronically filed. They approved it. We went to submit it, release it to the tax authorities, and it was rejected. And it was rejected because their child had filed their own tax return, very proud of the child for filing their own tax return. But the child did not check the box that they could be claimed as a dependent on their parents' return. They did not check that box, which meant they were claiming themselves. Well, when we were trying to file the parents' tax return, we said this child was their dependent. And that's why it was rejected, because the child had already filed. The IRS had that record already. So we had to paper file the parents' return. With that, there was an exception for that rejection, because it was rejection, for e-filing. The IRS does give us a couple more days. So we FedExed the tax return to the client, and they're going to have to sign and mail it tomorrow. They did already pay. So that was good. They already paid timely. So watch out for, to make sure those tax returns are filed. If you end up having to paper file, you want to make sure that your return is mailed with a postmark by April 15th or submitted through your local, like in the case of filing a local tax return, you should be able to go online and do that. So, for example, my own personal return, I can electronically file it through work. I do my federal, I do my state, and then I go online and enter my local, my W-2 for my local filing and submit it electronically. So that works out pretty nice. Now, my son's return, local return, was a little more complicated because he moved and he had three different W-2s with different jurisdictions that had tax withholding. So I just paper filed his. So you want to just make sure it's all taken care of. We are talking about what did we learn from tax season. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Did you know there are many ways you can support the programs you love on WDIY? You can make a gift of appreciated stock or mutual funds. The powerful way to give, and you may avoid capital gains taxes. If you're 70 and a half or older, you can also make a tax-smart gift directly from your IRA. And if you have a donor-advised fund, you can donate directly from the account and benefit from a more tax- and cost-efficient way of giving. To learn more, contact Seamus McGrogan at 610-694-8100, extension 3.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I love Margaret's message. Welcome to the studio, Seamus McGrogan, who Margaret just mentioned, and she knows all those great tax tips I normally talk about.
Yes, I'm the one to get in contact with if you have questions. But I'm the Membership and Development Director here at WDIY, and you're probably hearing me on the air more often now because it is our spring fund drive. So as you listen, we hope that you'll keep in mind that it is the time of year we're asking for your support, maybe a good use of some tax rebates that you got, or maybe some money you got back from your taxes, a good use for that, or just however you pull your finances, it is a great time to support the station because we do rely on your support. And the spring drive is one of the most important times of the year for us. So the way to give, and if you have questions for Lori tonight, is by calling 610-758-8810. Of course, you can also go to the website and hit the donate button, and that will help us out as well.
Do you think there's enough people listening, Seamus, that if I said if we get five callers, I'll throw in an extra $500? And that's extra on top of what I normally do with people. So how about that? Do you think we could get five callers to donate something, anything?
I think we can do that.
Let's see, in an hour.
Because one of the great benefits of these fund drives is this is the time of year when we get to talk to our listeners more often, because you call in, you tell us what you like about the station. So I get to get a lot of feedback. And we know that a lot of listeners out there love your show and tune in regularly to your financial choices. So if you're one of those people that you tune in, you learn something every week, you rely on the discussion and advice that you get from Lori, now's the time to show your appreciation. Give a donation gift. Support public radio in the Lehigh Valley. Now more than ever that we no longer have federal funding, we rely more on our members right now. So this is your time to step up and show your appreciation for the programs you listen to most. 610-758-8810 or WDIY.org.
Okay, and we want at least five callers. And it could be any, you know, $50, $100, whatever it might be. Callers. Let's do it.
Put an amount that's comfortable for you on that donation and give to WDIY, and I hope we can get five by the end of the show.
Okay, and I'm going to add just a little bit of a note for 2026 for non-itemizers, people who don't itemize their deductions, because so many people don't anymore. There is a charitable deduction of $1,000 for single and $2,000 for joint. So with this donation, hopefully people would still be able to get a deduction on their tax return.
Absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to go back to my office and start crunching numbers, and hopefully we'll get some donations.
Okay, please. Thanks, Seamus. Very important for us here at WDIY to show a sign of support as well. And I'm one of those people, you know, I feel guilty if I don't. So I hope I could guilt some listeners to call in and help support us during this next hour. In fact, we only have 45 minutes left, so I'm going to chat here for a second to give you time to call 610-758-8810 or much easier, go on the website at WDIY.org and click donate. James, can people donate through the app as well? So yes, you can donate through the WDIY app as well. So we are talking about tax season. What did we learn? We just talked about making sure your returns are filed and confirmed. I often get the question about what happens if I don't have the information, I have to file an extension. Extensions are an extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So you do want to make sure that you pay at least what you think you're going to owe. Now, here's a little tip that what we do for our clients who have to extend, because some have to extend because they're waiting for K-1 information. K-1s are a document that's generated from a pass-through entity that could be an estate, a trust, a partnership, an S-corp. So it's a pass-through entity. Sometimes people have to wait because if those entities get an extension, then they don't have to file by March 15th or April 15th. They have an extension of time to file, which then throws off all those pass-through individuals or entities. So sometimes we have to wait. So what we will do is we'll have our clients pay the amount due that we expect or anticipate as their amount due for the extension, and then we'll build in an estimated tax payment. So if these same people, because of the pass-through kind of the nature of pass-through income, usually if it's enough, you know, you would have tax on that. So you have to do estimates, and we would bake in the first quarter estimate with that extension. That way, if you end up owing more than we projected, then we have it covered at least with that extension payment. And then if we have a refund or an overpayment because of building in the first quarter estimate, then we just apply it to the first quarter and it's already paid for April 15th. So that's a little tip as well. So extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So listeners who are out there who think, oh, shoot, I didn't file. I don't have any money to pay, so I'm not going to file. I'm afraid to file. I'm nervous. I'm scared. People really get panicked about these things. And I always say, don't panic. If you know you have to file because you know you had income, whether you owe or not, at least do the extension, because there's also a failure to file. So when you've done the extension, even if you don't have the money to pay, and they want you to make some effort in making a payment or some kind of payment with that extension if you think you're going to owe, but at least file for the extension so that you don't have a failure to file. So make the extension. It's so easy to do an extension. I think it's a 4868. You know, I have people who do this now, so I don't know all these form numbers anymore. I think it's the 4868 for the extension. I have to look it up. But you can easily go do the extension probably online. In fact, if you haven't filed or you're afraid to file, you could go and print it off from the computer, you know, put it in your relevant information and put it in the mail tonight. File for that extension. But typically online might be the easiest way to do it. So you want to avoid failure to file. Another note that came up today, and I'm going to talk about refunds in a minute, but let's pretend you're so afraid to file because you don't understand tax law. And one of the tips someone in the office said is, taxes are complicated. Get a professional. And I thought that was really funny. He said, I, you know, I'm afraid to kind of mention these things on this educational radio show, but, you know, it can be complicated. And if it's too complicated for you or you're too scared, then hire a professional to help guide you along and take the fear out of it for you. I remember many years ago, one of my favorite clients who has subsequently passed away, he had a number of rental properties and his records were just kind of like, you know, he tried to keep good records, but it was kind of all over the place. And we talked about what he needed to be doing. And he set up Excel spreadsheets. I was so proud of him. In fact, I'll get misty-eyed right now thinking about it. I was so proud of him. He really came a long way. So you take the fear out of it by mastering it. And it makes a big difference to kind of like be on top of some of these things. But if you have a refund coming, but you've been too afraid to file and you don't file, you only have 3 years to recover that. Meaning if you exceed the 3-year filing time to statute of limitations on filing your tax return to get a refund, you don't get the refund. It stays with the government. So let's pretend you didn't file a tax return 2 years ago. But if you really sat down and looked at the numbers, you would have had a refund. You can still file. So for 2025, a 2025 tax return is due April 15th of 26. Well, you'll have 3 years to file for that. So you'll have till April 15th of 2029 to file for your 2025 refund. Now, don't sit on that because I said that. Go file if you think you're going to get a refund. But if you're someone who hasn't filed for a couple years, go look at your stuff because you could still get, you know, file and get that refund. Really, really important. When we come back from this next break, I'm going to talk about checking for your refund and how you can get it quickly. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're looking for five callers. I think we've had one. We want five callers in this next 40 minutes or so, and I will put in an extra donation. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're also going to be listening to Seamus McGrogan in just a moment to talk about our spring fund drive.
Thank you, Lori. Happy to stop back in for just a quick moment to update you. We have our first donation during the show.
Thank you.
Linda from Allentown giving an extra gift. Thank you, Linda. And that could be an option for you if you're a current member, even if you're supporting monthly or you gave in the fall maybe. Now is a great time to give an extra gift and get that donation in during the spring fund drive, because we have lots of incentives running right now during these fund drives. And right now we have partnered with Valley National Financial Advisors and Second Harvest Food Bank of the Lehigh Valley to make sure a portion of every donation coming to WDIY also triggers food relief going to those in need in the community. And the way this works is for every donation that comes in, Valley National Financial Advisors will also contribute an amount to Second Harvest Food Bank of the Lehigh Valley. So $100 translates to 15 meals provided to Second Harvest Food Bank, $60 translates to 9 meals provided to Second Harvest, and so on and so forth. So whatever amount you give, know that some of that is going to food relief. And the great thing about that partnership is that Valley National Financial Advisors is coming in and they're taking care of that additional donation. So your donation isn't getting split up or diverted in any way. It's two good deeds with one donation, and we think that's a great deal. So a great incentive to give right now.
And a third great good, a third benefit is if we get five calls tonight, we've already had one. We need four more in the next 35 or so minutes. Four more, any amount, I'm going to make an extra contribution. $500. That's extra.
That's incredible. And
please.
And keeping with the theme, that additional amount you're giving is going to trigger meal donations as well.
Oh, there you go.
So it's all helping those in the community, and it's helping public radio. So it's a great time to give, and we hope you'll do that. So we're looking for four more by the end of the show to encourage Lori to part with some of her dollars. 610-758-8810. Or WDIY.org for that donation. Of course, you can also call the phone number if you have a question for Lori on the show.
Thank you so much, Seamus. And thank you, listeners. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it because, I love doing this show. I'm a frustrated wannabe teacher, for regular listeners who already know that. Frustrated wannabe teacher. I've been so grateful to have landed here back in 2009. So I'm going on in September. It'll be 17 years here at WDIY. And I'm also very grateful to Valley National Financial Advisors, who actually, support the programming here and support me in my need to educate. And so, listeners, for those who are listening, it really makes me and fuels me when I know that you're supporting WDIY as well and the program. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So talking about tax season, what did we learn? Make sure your returns are filed. Make sure you confirm that they were filed. Looking for your refund faster and more secure than ever with direct deposit information included on your return. Your refund will arrive quickly, securely, and straight to your bank account. When combined with e-filing, most refunds are issued within 3 weeks. you know, I know sometimes people get nervous about this. They think, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want the IRS knowing my bank accounts. I'm sure they already know your bank accounts because, you know, if you have interest income or dividend income, all of that information gets reported to the IRS. So I've been doing direct deposit as long as I've been able to do direct deposit. So I've been doing it a very long time, knock on wood. I've never had a problem. Now, some people also, if they owe, would do direct debit. And that we have to be a little bit more careful with, because if you're not careful with your bank, you don't keep an emergency reserve. If you run your bank down too low, like when you let your gas tank go down to empty, you risk not having the funds there when the IRS goes to pull it. So you do have to be careful about that. And I do want to mention something else about refunds, but back to balances due. Sometimes people wait till April 15th thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not going to file till April 15th. We have people file in February and they don't pull the money or pay their check until April 15th. You don't have to pay until April 15th. You can still file. You don't have to coordinate your payment with the filing date if you don't want to. I have people who just say, just do it, just, you know, pay it, you know, or they'll pay it. We don't do direct debit for clients anymore because there were too many times where they closed the bank account or they didn't have the funds. So now we have the clients go direct their own direct debits. We give them the information to go online and take the money out of their bank accounts themselves, because that way they know it's there. They make sure it's there. So you can file your return at any time, and you can direct the payment to be made on April 15th. Some people might not have known that. So back to the refunds, you know, the direct deposit is the fastest. If you're e-filing, that's also fast. So you could do a direct deposit even if you paper file, but if you electronically file, it does go faster. But what's really fun, too, if you have a computer, obviously, if you're electronically filing or making your payments online, you can also go to the IRS's website, irs.gov, and click. It's right on that opening page. You can click Where's My Refund? It's a tool on the IRS's website. Again, irs.gov. All you need is your Social Security number, your filing status, and the exact amount of the refund. And when you put that information in, it will give you a status bar of where your refund is, like return received, processing, under review, or refunded. So it's really nice to kind of be able to watch for that. All right, so the balance due. When we talk about planning and what are we learning from tax season, you know, I tell clients, I get more upset when you owe and I didn't know you owed than you would get upset. Meaning I like to plan. I like to know. Like, there are times when I have clients who owe money, but I knew they owed money and I planned for them to owe the money. There's something called a safe harbor. I just was talking with Bob and Cindy about this before the show, that there is something called a safe harbor. So let's say in the prior year, my tax due was $2,000 and this year my tax due is $1 million. Well, as long as I paid in $2,000 for estimates or paid it through withholding for 2020, pretend I'm in 2026 now, as long as I paid in as much as I owed in the prior year, that's one of the safe harbors. So if I owed $2,000 last year, I made sure I paid in $2,000 in 2026. When I go to file my 2026 return, I don't have to pay my $1 million that I owe until April 15th of 2026. Vice versa, if I owed $1 million last year and this year I'm only going to owe $2,000, well, I'm not going to do the safe harbor for $1 million. That'd be crazy. But there are other safe harbors that the IRS gives you. And the other safe harbors could be just make sure you pay in what you owe, or 90% of what you owe, or less than $1,000 would be your balance. And then you're not going to, you can avoid penalties that way. So you want to do a little bit of planning, you know, ahead of time. You may be able to do that with withholdings. So I have clients that we hold the IRA distributions. Some clients have required minimum distributions, and I might hold those until the last quarter when I can do a tax projection to see what kind of income they have for the year. And then I can withhold from the IRA as long as there's enough money in the IRA to cover the anticipated tax, because the IRS deems withholdings to be made evenly throughout the year. So that's a great way to cover taxes through withholdings versus having to do estimates. Folks, we're almost at the halfway point. Just a reminder, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live with me or give your question to Cindy, and she'll bring it in if you have questions for me tonight. But you could also call and make a contribution for a spring fund drive in any amount. We're looking for four more listeners to show that they're listening to the show, they support the show, they like the programming here in any amount, and I will do an extra contribution to WDIY this evening. I'm looking for five. We have one. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you, James, and thank you, James, for being here. We've got such a great crew here at WDIY, and your contributions to the Spring Fund Drive help support our staff as well, not just your volunteers, but your staff. Seamus, how are we doing tonight?
Well, we only have the one donation so far, so thank you, Linda, from Allentown. We want to get at least four more by the end of the program. We have a half an hour to do that, and Lori has offered an additional $500 towards the Spring Fund Drive goal if we can hit that target. So four more people out there. We hope you'll contribute, even if it's an extra gift if you're already a member. We just want you to support your listening and put it behind the programs that you really enjoy and rely on, because that also tells us, hey, there's people out there listening that really like this program in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to do that. 610-758-8810 is that phone number for questions or a donation. You can also give online at WDIY.org. And like I mentioned last break, giving during the Spring Fund Drive is great because we have great incentives running during the drive that will end as soon as the drive is over. One of those is our Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs tickets and merch giveaway. This is really cool. We're giving away four tickets to see the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, as well as a pig pack of Iron Pigs merchandise. And that is going out to everybody who gives to the station. You'll be automatically entered to win if you make a donation. And this is a great incentive that we can give to those people who donate. So get in the drawing, support public radio, and help us trigger this $500 challenge that Lori has generously offered for this program.
Well, thank you, Seamus. And it also shows that listeners are listening, and it could be any amount, even $50 or $30. I don't care how much, as long as we get four callers. Four more. We already have one. Four, Linda. Linda started it.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. So thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you can do it online as well at WDIY.org. So we are talking about some tax tips. So we talked about filing, we talked about extensions, we talked about refunds, balance due. What are you going to do with your refund? Now, these are some tips again from my tax department. Whether you receive a refund or settle a balance or release planned reserves, consider directing the funds intentionally. You could replenish your cash reserves. You could take $50 of your refund and make a contribution to WDIY Spring Fund Drive. It always feels so good to give, in my opinion. It feels so good to give. You can pay down higher interest debt. You can contribute funds to your retirement accounts. You can increase contributions to 529 plans. You can invest an amount consistent with your overall portfolio allocation. And even smaller sums, when allocated thoughtfully, contribute meaningfully over time. So those are some tips from my tax department. And then we also discussed refining withholding and estimates. So you heard me earlier talking about safe harbors and estimates and paying in as much as you owe or as much as you owed in the prior year or how much you're going to owe in the current year. So when planning for 2026, it's important to target a small refund or modest balance due. The IRS tax withholding estimator is a valuable free resource for running scenarios, especially after changes in income sources, distribution timing, or investment activity. Mid-year adjustments often yield the best results. It says they included, if you've managed this year's filing responsibly, take a moment to recognize that accomplishment as well. But back to refining the withholding and estimate. So, for example, I had a lovely young couple with four children who had refunds every year of like $17,000 and $18,000. And I thought that they're just the lovely people. And he was changing jobs. And I said, you know, you might want to look at this opportunity to update your W-4. That's the form you use with your employer to tell them how much to withhold, your status, basically. And so he did. He updated his W-4. And that way they got that much more money during the year. Okay, so they had it in January, February. They got more cash flow monthly because they updated the W-4. They weren't withholding so much and getting these huge refunds in April. Well, then guess what? In April, he's like, Lori, I'd only had a $2,000 refund. I'd normally get an $18,000 refund. I said, remember when you changed your employer, we updated the W-4 and you had more money during the year. And he kind of forgot about that. But you know what he didn't forget about? And what we said, when you have these refunds, you know what they were doing? They were funding their children's education and 529 accounts. So now they had freed up some cash flow and were making some strategic decisions around their children's education, because the children were in elementary school, but they were in private elementary school. And when you put money into a 529 education account as a resident of Pennsylvania, and different states have different requirements, you get a deduction on your Pennsylvania return to the extent you have income, capped at the annual gift amount. But you can put money into a 529 for your child, get a deduction on your Pennsylvania return. And they have expanded the use of the term for qualified education expenses for 529s, that you can use it for elementary and secondary private tuition up to $10,000 in 2025 and up to $20,000 in 2026. So, you know, sometimes when we talk about private schools, people will think, oh, private schools, you know, elementary, they're so expensive. Well, there are sometimes some religiously based, elementary and high school schools that aren't as much as, you know, an independent private school. And, you know, it could be a reasonable deduction, but it also might not cost you too much money to go to some of those other schools as well. So you can use up to $10,000 in 25 and up to $20,000 in 2026 for 529s. And so that was something that was really, you know, I was excited about. I don't know if they realized, you know, that they had extra cash flow to do that kind of thing. So you want to review your withholdings if you're changing jobs, if you get married. The W-4, you want to say, are you a single filer? Are you married filing joint? Are there two people working in the household? There's boxes to check on the W-4, and you kind of want to look to see how they turn out. Now, in my client's situation, they had four children. So on the W-4, if before they had kids, he had been filing, let's pretend, married, but no dependents. Now he could kind of update it to say he had four kids, and then that gets factored in because there's child tax credits that are available when you have children. And with four, those could be quite substantial. So you want to watch out for your withholdings. And the same thing happens with required minimum distributions or even Social Security. So you heard me mention earlier that for some clients, I monitor their required minimum distributions, and I use that to cover some of the taxes at the end of the year. Now, we have some clients who may not have required minimum distributions yet, but maybe they have high investment income, high interest, high dividends, and maybe they're collecting Social Security or a pension. Well, quite often when I have clients who have pensions, I don't even see that much of federal withholdings. But you can go in and complete a W-4P, P as in Paul, P as in pension, and update the provider to withhold extra money on your pension. That's one way you can do it. Or you go fill out a W-4G or V or something for Social Security. I just skipped my brain. But you can take withholdings from your Social Security. And a lot of people don't realize that, because I don't think that's a question they ask or they breeze over it. Most clients I have don't have any withholdings out of their Social Security, but you can do it. It's fixed rates in those circumstances. So you just have to pick a rate. I think it's like 10 or 12 or 22. And it's actually tax withholdings on the net after Medicare. So that might, you know, be a little hard to kind of pin down, but that would be available as well. So watch out for that. Another thing you have to watch out for when you are working, and we talked about tax withholdings, but there's also other kinds of withholdings on your pay. For example, employer or employee contributions to retirement accounts. There are caps on these. So depending on how many employers you have to be careful. We had a client who had multiple employers, and they were contributing an employee contribution across more than one employer. And they therefore then went over the maximum amount they could contribute as an employee. We had to tell them to go to the most recent employer to tell them quickly before April 15th, because the IRS lets us correct these things, before April 15th, tell your employer you have to pull it back out because you contributed too much, because you already maxed out on the first employer. So be careful when you're making contributions that are tax deductible contributions, like pre-tax 401k contributions. And another one is HSA, health savings accounts. If you do those, you want to be careful of those as well, because you don't want to go over the max, because you'd have to pull it back out. We have from time to time have to tell our clients, you got to go pull that money out of the HSA. You made too much. Now, I had a question. Thank you, Marjorie from Quakertown, for calling in with your question. It's off air. Marjorie bought a heating system, a mini split system, $6,000 in January of 2025. Was told she could get 30% back. She didn't owe any federal tax. She can't get the 30% back. Oh, Marjorie, I hate hearing stories like this. So Marjorie, depending on what kind of system it was, there's certain credits that are available for 2025. All of those energy savings credits have gone away. But what I typically would do if I had a client who was eligible for a tax credit, I actually would put income on their tax return to generate a tax to be able to offset the tax credit. And you'd say, like, Lori, what are you talking about? How could you do that? Well, Marjorie, I don't know if you have a retirement account or not, but if you had an IRA, I probably would have, you know, could have taken money out and converted it to a Roth IRA. So let's pretend your income, you said you had no tax, but let's say if we put $10,000 more on your tax return, you would have had $1,000 of tax. Well, then we could have gotten a $1,000 tax credit against that tax, you see, and you still would have been at zero tax. The credit doesn't carry forward. So I would have probably tried to have generated some tax. Quite often, though, and I don't know if you double checked it or not, but a lot of clients sometimes will think their energy improvements qualified for the energy credit. But it was probably the first year I had so many people who thought they were getting buying energy efficient systems that didn't qualify. Now, this sounds like it probably did, though, the mini split system. And it sounded like they told you were going to get this credit. Yeah, it's a good point, Marjorie. But I'm sorry that that happened. Yeah, I've had other situations where I literally will generate tax to take advantage of a tax credit. And there are different ways to do that, whether we have capital gains that we have take, or, you know, like I said, a conversion. Maybe we don't do a conversion and someone just needs cash flow. We might take a distribution from an IRA just to generate some cash if they need cash flow. So thank you for calling and sharing that. That's why we kind of have to be in front of our decisions and look at planning and back to, you know, what my colleague had said about it being complicated. And sometimes people don't want to pay a professional. I don't know if you did or not. I'm not making a judgment, Marjorie. But sometimes people don't always know all the options that they might have available. And people, professionals who do this kind of like all the time, whether it's an attorney, an insurance agent, a financial planner, a CPA, we've seen some of these situations over and over and over and over and over again. So we kind of know how to navigate some of them. And if I have time, a very quick example, family member, daughter in college, got a scholarship. The scholarship covered the tuition. We wanted to get an American Opportunity Tax Credit. Well, the American Opportunity Tax Credit is only eligible if you have tuition you know, payments as a qualified expense. Well, she, the my niece, it was my niece family member, had all the scholarship. Well, what he might not have known is I actually could disqualify some of the scholarship. There's certain scholarships you can't disqualify, others you can. I disqualified some of the scholarship, treated it as income on the student's tax return, and then the parents could qualify for the American Opportunity Tax Credit. So little things that we might know about that, that not everybody might like think through. And it was all, you know, it's allowed. There's even a box you check to do, be able to do that for the child. Folks, we're at the last break. We're still looking for four people to call in and make a contribution to, so that I can make a bigger contribution to WDIY, because I support this station. I support what we do here. I support the educational value that you get from here. It's our spring fund drive. You can call 610-758-8810. We only have 15 minutes left. Please, four more people, any amount. I don't care. Just four more people. You can also do it online at WDIY.org. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Are you saying out with the old, in with the new when it comes to your old car? WDIY's vehicle donation program will turn your ride into your favorite programs on Lehigh Valley Public Radio. The towing is free, all the paperwork is taken care of, and your gift is tax deductible. For more information, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I'm sitting here with Seamus McRoggan.
Hi, Lori. Happy to stop in for just another minute here to update you on the Spring Fund Drive. We are looking for those four more donors before the end of Your Financial Choices. So we're running out of time to hit that target. That will trigger the extra $500 courtesy of Lori Siebert, and that will go towards our Spring Fund Drive goal. So if you want to make your donation go a little bit further, now is the time to give. And it could be an extra gift, $25, $50, $100. Really, whatever amount is comfortable for you, put a value on your listening and give it back to your local public radio station. We will certainly put it to good use. 610-758-8810 is that number, wdiy.org if you want to give online. I know there's lots of folks out there that like to wait till the last minute for their taxes, and maybe they're waiting till the last minute to give a donation.
Yes, yes, yes. It's you. It's you, people.
And we just want to remind you, we do have this great partnership with Second Harvest Food Bank running right now during the fall membership drive, or during the spring membership drive, I should say. It is spring. Right now during the drive, we have a portion of every donation matched courtesy of Valley National Financial Advisors, and that will trigger meals courtesy of Second Harvest Food Bank of the Lehigh Valley. That means those meals are going out to those in need. And the great thing about this partnership is Valley National Financial Advisors is taking care of that additional donation to Second Harvest Food Bank. So nothing you give to us here at WDIY is split up or diverted. It all stays with the station. It is an extra donation to Second Harvest on top of your donation. So a great incentive running only right now during the Spring Fund Drive. So take advantage of that and make a donation.
And you may have an employer who matches your donation as well. So that's something to keep in mind. And one more reminder that if you don't itemize in 2026, you're single, you can deduct $1,000 without itemizing and $2,000 if you're married filing joint. So any donations tonight could count toward that as well.
Absolutely. And we do also accept donations from IRAs if that is another option you'd like to take advantage of.
Yep. You have to be 70 and a half, but you can do it. It has to come directly from the IRA.
It all helps us here at WDIY. So if you're a fan of Your Financial Choices, we need four more by the end of the show, four more donations. Hopefully you can come through. 610-758-8810 or WDIY.org.
Yeah, get me crying because I usually cry when the people come through.
I don't want to see you crying, Lori, but maybe tears of joy would be nice.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Seamus. Thank you, listeners. And thank you for anyone who's calling in or even easier going online at WDIY.org. That way we can get them in quickly in the next 10 minutes. You can listen while you're on your computer doing it. You know, and it's amazing to me, you know, even at my age, like how quick I have adapted to modern technology. I'm so proud of myself when I, you know, navigate all the different, you know, online services that I tap into now. It's just incredible. So some tips for, you know, what do we do now? Tax season's kind of done, April 15th. You may have been one of those people who had to file the extension. Just make sure you pay with your extension if you think you're going to owe. Some other tips that we have. I always, and I've talked about this on shows in the past, I love looking at tax returns. To me, they tell a story. I love looking at a tax return. The stories it tells me. It tells me if you're a good saver. It tells me how conservative you are with your investments. It tells me how charitable you are. It tells me how hard you might work. It just has some really great stories. But one of the things I'm actually more interested in when I'm looking at a tax return is the diversity of the kind of income that you have on the return. I will have clients who say, oh, I love real estate. I want to get into real estate. And they love their real estate. Well, that's ordinary income. They might have jobs, wages. That's ordinary income. They say, oh, you know, I have to have money in the bank and they don't want to invest. They might not like the stock market. Well, that's interest income. That's ordinary income. And ordinary income all gets taxed at ordinary income tax rates. Well, they may be losing out on one of the best tax favored things out there, which are qualified dividends and long-term capital gains that we get from investing in equities. Equities meaning companies, companies that are, you know, supporting our, you know, economy. So that's the stock market. Yes, it seems a little bit more volatile. We usually talk about investing in equities, you know, for people who want to take a little bit of risk and you want to understand your own risk tolerance. But it's in equities that we're typically, the reason we're taking risk is because we're hoping for a better return. And we like those tax favored treatment that we get on the qualified dividends and the long-term capital gains. So look at your tax return. I mean, really, if you're someone who's afraid of it, I'm telling you, embrace it. It's like if you're afraid of heights, you know, go jump off a ladder or something. So you want to, you know, look at your tax return and understand kind of the taxation of the income on it. That's another tip, and watch for that, because you may be able to get some tax advantaged income by just shifting. Maybe your risk tolerance is, you know, you only want 60% in equities. Well, put your fixed income in your IRA perhaps, and maybe your equities in your individual accounts. You want to review those kinds of things. Other tips that the folks at work were screaming out at the end of our day when I asked for some ideas for the radio show. Someone said not all tips are tax-free. So remember with the One Big Beautiful Bill, people thought, oh, my tips are tax-free. And people thought overtime was tax-free. And they had like, you know, a moment where they realized, no, that's not exactly the case. Not all tips are tax-free. Some are income tax-free for federal purposes, but they're not tax-free for Medicare or Social Security or state or local. And they may not all be tax-free because if you're someone who waits tables, let's say, at event centers where there's more than eight people or certain tips are automatically included with the bill, those were excluded from that. And you had to be in an industry that already had kind of this established tip, you know, tipping service. So if all of a sudden you're at a new company and they say, oh, yeah, you're going to get paid in tips, but it wasn't one of those established businesses that ordinarily had tips, then your tips may not be tax free. We had an anonymous donation from Bethlehem. Thank you so much for making a donation from Bethlehem. And we had Linda from Allentown as well. So thank you so much. Three more callers or three more donations at WDIY.org or on the WDIY app. Three more. I would really love it. I love contributing to WDIY. And they will tell you I do too. I don't make this stuff up. Anyway, don't buy $10 worth of crypto and then sell it. That was from one of our CPAs. Oh my gosh. If you bought crypto and then sold it, you had to check a box on your tax return. And, you know, I don't know how the person sold it, but, you know, it's a reportable transaction. So now you just made your tax return maybe a little bit more complicated than it didn't need to be. Get your tax returns done early. Don't wait. Someone else mentioned the the Trump accounts, Form 4547, for $1,000. If you had a child born in 25 or 26, I think they're going to put $1,000 in it. And, you know, that could grow until they're 18, and then I think it's going to be taxable. But frankly, I like the idea of the 529 accounts, because the 529 accounts, when they're 18, you can use it for college, and it would be income tax free as long as you're using it for qualified education expenses. And then you control it too, even at that time. So watch out for that. What else do we have here? Ages. I want to talk about, I think it's next week. I was going to talk about ages. Let me see. Yeah, your age matters, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to just give you a couple ideas tonight of why, when we're looking at tax tips and tax planning tips, why this is important to talk about. And I'll talk more about it in depth next week. But remember earlier I said I look at required minimum distributions, and I may use those at the end of the year to cover taxes. Let's pretend you retired at 62 and you started a pension, and then maybe at 65 or 67, you started collecting Social Security, and you might have some investments, so you have some interest in dividends, and you don't have withholdings on these, you know, resources, sources of income. So you're doing quarterly estimates, but now you're going to be 73. And now you're going to have a required minimum distribution. And sometimes those required minimum distributions are going to be quite healthy if you saved a lot while you were working and you have a big retirement account. Well, I could tell you then, let's pretend you're going to be 73 in 2026 and you're going to have a required minimum distribution. If we look at your income together and we say, okay, we think the tax is going to be $8,000. And your required minimum distribution, factoring that in, your required minimum distribution is going to be, like $30,000. Then you could withhold $8,000 of tax from the RMD. All right. Hey, we just had Kyle from Bethlehem do an extra gift. My son's name's Kyle, but he lives in Orfield, so I don't think it's him. But thank you, Kyle from Bethlehem. We really appreciate the extra gift. And remember, I said five callers in this hour, and I don't care how much you give. $10, $50, $100. We're looking for five callers or five donations through 610-758-8810 or wdiy.org. We're almost there. Two more. If I could guilt you into it. I said I grew up, I feel guilty about things I've never done. The age thing. So 73 is kind of an important age because you're going to have a required minimum distribution. So we're going to talk more about that next week as well. So tips, takeaways from the tax season. Number one, file on time. Make sure you file. If you're afraid to file and you don't file, at least file for an extension to avoid failure to file. Don't be so afraid. It might not be as bad as you think. Also, if you get any kind of IRS notices, don't panic until someone tells you to panic. I will always tell my clients, don't worry until I tell you to worry. The IRS isn't always right. You want to study it and understand it. If you're someone who all of a sudden has foreign income, you didn't realize you opened up a foreign bank account or you inherited something foreign, I know this is a little bit different, but make sure that you're doing the proper reporting for that. If you have an accountant, they always ask, do you have any foreign income? Did you have any foreign assets? Because it is critical that you report those. And depending on what it is and the nature of it, you want to ask a professional. As my colleague said, it's complicated and you may need help with it. But foreign reporting, we didn't talk about too much, but I definitely have clients who have foreign reporting. And, you know, the IRS comes down very hard on people who are not reporting foreign income. So you want to make sure, huge penalties, not only for you, but for the preparer. And you don't want your tax preparer to get in trouble either. That's why we ask those questions. In fact, that's one of the tips. If you work with a tax preparer and they send you an organizer with questions, there's a reason they're sending you those questions. I'll have questions about, did you do a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA? Some people will say yes, and they don't tell us the amount. Typically, I know the amount, but you know, I don't know if every preparer knows the amounts. We happen to know the amount because we're advising the clients on what amounts to give. But there's a reason for those questions, and you might not always understand them. Even like the energy credit that Marjorie called about earlier, you know, we want to know, are you doing an energy, you know, improvement, at least during 2025? Can't, doesn't matter anymore, but we would want to know about those kinds of things because we might be able to do some planning for you. Folks, thank you so much, listeners, for participating tonight with our pledge drive, with our spring fund drive. I really appreciate it. Maybe we still could get two more people in. I'll talk to Seamus after the show. Next week, I am going to do the show on Your Age Matters, and I'll tell you why. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Marjorie, Anonymous, and Kyle. Thank you, James. And remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.